Chapter 5. The Business in America. John Moody, author of many standard reference works on American finance, stated in McClure's Magazine, August, 1911, the seven men. Seven men in Wall Street now control a great share of the fundamental industry and resources of the United States. Three of the seven men, J.P. Morgan, James Stillman, and George F. Baker, head of the First National Bank of New York, belong to the so-called Morgan Group. Four of them, John D. and William Rockefeller, James Stillman, head of the National City Bank, and Jacob H. Schiff of the Prickett Banking Firm of Kuhn, Leib Company, to the so-called Standard Oil National City Bank Group. Point. The central machine of capital extends its control over the U.S. The process is not only economically logical, it is now practically automatic. What was true in 1911 is even more true in 1984. The seven men are now, as then, merely American agents for London interests. In 1919, Moody wrote in Masters of Capital, all of the great bankers began as dry goods traders, including Junius S. Morgan. B.B. Morgan was a dry goods house. J.M. B.B. Company of Boston made Junius S. Morgan a partner. Junius Morgan was later invited to join George Peabody and Company of London, which handled most of the House of Rothschild S. trading in American stocks. Junius Morgan S. son, J.P. Morgan, later changed the name of the firm to J.P. Morgan and Company, but it continued to one of three representatives of the House of Rothschild in the U.S., the others being Kuhn, Leib and Company and August Belmont. The Morgan Group and the National City Bank Group held a secret meeting at Jekyll Island, Georgia the week of November 22, 1911 to consolidate their financial power. Present were Senator Nelson Aldrich, his daughter married John D. Rockefeller Jr., his private secretary, Shelton, A. 101. Pitt Andrew, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, Frank Van Erlich, President National City Bank, Henry P. Davison, J.P. Morgan's right-hand man, Charles D. Norton, President. First National Bank of New York, Benjamin Strong of Liberty National Bank, he later married the daughter of the President of Bankers Trust, became President of Bankers Trust, and Chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and Paul Warburg, a German immigrant who had joined Kuhn, Leib and Company. Although these men were the most influential financiers in the U.S., they were present at Jekyll Island merely as the emissaries of Baron Alfred Rothschild, who had commissioned them to prepare legislation establishing a central bank in the U.S., modeled on the European fractional reserve central banking organizations of the Reichsbank, the Bank of England, and the Bank of France, all of which were controlled by the House of Rothschild. To enact the Federal Reserve Act into the law of the land, the bankers elected Woodrow Wilson president of the U.S. in 1912 by splitting the Republican Party, defeating the popular William Howard Taft by financing Theodore Roosevelt's malicious Bull Moose third-party candidacy. Wilson's academic career at Princeton had been financed by gifts from Cleveland H. Dodge, director of National City Bank, and Moses Taylor Pine, grandson and heir of the founder of National City Bank. Wilson then signed an agreement not to go to any other college. The Federal Reserve Act was legislated through Congress, as the Glass-Owen Bill, backed by two Democrats, Congressman Carter Glass of Virginia, and Senator Robert Owen of Oklahoma. Owen was persuaded to back the bill by Samuel Untermeyer, who had cultivated him, while acting as counsel for the Pugil Money Trust investigation. Untermeyer flattered Owen by entertaining him at Greystone, his palatial Hudson River estate. Untermeyer claimed to be a progressive Democrat, although he lived in feudal splendor, employing 167 men to tend his expanse of orchards and greenhouses. At Greystone, Owen dined with Paul Warburg, Bernard Barrick, and other financiers who had been instructed to get the Federal Reserve Act passed. Owen, a former Indian agent who knew little about finance, was easily persuaded by Paul Warburg's doctrinaire. 102. Pronunciamentos about our antiquated banking system, which must be brought up to par with the more modern banking system of Europe. After the Federal Reserve Act had been passed by Congress and signed into law by President Woodrow Wilson, six New York banks controlled by the Morgan Standard Oil Group bought controlling interest of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which they have held ever since. The May 19, 1914 organization chart of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York shows that of the 203,053 shares issued, National City Bank took 30,000 shares, the Morgan Baker First National Bank took 15,000 shares. These two banks merged into the present Citibank in 1955, giving them 1/4 of the shares in the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. The $1.34 billion Citicorp is now the largest bank in the U.S. The National Bank of Commerce, of which Paul Warburg was a large shareholder, took 21,000 shares. Hanover Bank, now Manufacturers Hanover, of which Lord Rothschild is a director, took 10,200 shares. Chase National Bank took 6,000 shares. Chemical Bank took 6,000 shares. These six banks in 1914 owned 40% of the stock of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. The Federal Reserve System printout of shareholders July 26, 1983 showed that they now own 53%, as follows: Citibank 15%, Chase Manhattan 14%, Morgan Guaranty Trust 9%, Manufacturers Hanover 7%, Chemical Bank 8%. Citicorp. Citibank is number one in size in the U.S. Number 3 is CHASEMANHATTANWITH, $2 billion assets. Number 4 is Manufacturers Hanover, $64 billion. Number 5 is J.P. Morgan, $58 billion. Number 6, Chemical Bank. Number 1 is First Chicago, formerly First National Bank of Chicago, controlled by the Baker Morgan interests. House Report. 159,362. P183 notes, next to Baker and Son, Morgan and Company, is the largest stockholder of First National of New York, owning 14,500 shares. Baker and Morgan together own 40,000 of the 100,000 shares of First National Bank. The New York Times, September 3, 1914, at the time of the Federal Reserve stock was being sold, showed the principal stockholders of Thesa Banks as follows: National Citibank -250,000 shares, of which James Stillman owned 47,498, J.P. Morgan and Company 14,500, W.103, Rockefeller 10,000, M.T. Pine 8,267, Percy Pine 8,267, J.D. Rockefeller 1750, J.S. Rockefeller 100, W.A. Rockefeller 10, J.P. Morgan Jr. 1,000. National Bank of Commerce, 250,000 shares, George F. Baker 10,000, J.P. Morgan Company 7,800, Mary W. Harriman, widow, E.H. 5,650, Paul Warburg 3,000, Jacob Schiff 1,000, J.P. Morgan Jr. 1,100. Chase National Bank, George F. Baker 13,408. Hanover National Bank, James Stillman 4,000, William Rockefeller 1540. During a period when thousands of U.S. banks have gone bankrupt since 1914, these banks, protected by their interest in the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, have grown steadily. A Senate report, Interlocking Directorates Among the Major U.S. Corporations, a staff study of the Senate Committee on Governmental Affairs, June 15, 978, shows that five of these aforementioned banks held a total of 470 interlocking directorates in the 130 major corporations of the U.S., an average of 3.6 directors per major U.S. corporation. This massive report is worthy of anyone's detailed study. We can only give the totals here. Citicorp 97 directorates. J.P. Morgan Co., 99 directorates. Chemical Bank 96 directorates. Chase Manhattan 89 directorates. Manufacturers Hanover 89 directorates. Total 470. This centralized control over American industry by five New York banks controlled from London suggests that instead of 130 major U.S. corporations, we may have only one, which in itself is an outpost of the London connection. In the early 19th century, the House of Rothschild established a number of affiliates in the U.S. which carried the code identification of city banks, or city companies, identifying them as originating in the financial center, the City of London. The City Bank was established in New York in 1812, in the same room in which the Bank of the 104 United States had operated until its charter expired. Later called the National City Bank, its principal, for 50 years was Moses Taylor, whose father had been a confidential agent for John Jacob Astor and British intelligence. Like the Morgan Peabody operation, Moses Taylor doubled his fortune in the panic of 1837 by purchasing stock in the depressed market with capital advanced by N.M. Rothschild of London. During the Panic of 1857, while many of its competitors failed, Citibank prospered. Moses Taylor purchased the outstanding stock of Delaware Lackawanna Railroad for $5 a share during the panic. 7 years later, it was worth $240 a share. He was now worth $50 million. His son-in-law, Percy Pine, had come from London to work at Citibank, and married Taylor's daughter. When Taylor died in 1882, he left $70 million. His son-in-law, now paralyzed, became president of the now National Citibank. John D. Rockefeller's brother William invested in the bank, and persuaded Pine to step aside in 1891 in favor of James Stillman, Rockefeller's associate, to become president. William's son William married Stillman's daughter Elsie, his other son Percy married Stillman's daughter Isabel. James Stillman also had a London connection. His father, Don Carlos, had been a Rothschild agent in Brownsville, Texas, and a successful blockade runner during the Civil War. The National City Bank acquired several subsidiaries in New York, the National City Company, later renamed the City Company, and Citibank Farmers Trust Company. The dominance of the Morgan-Coolabe financial power in New York is shown by a Dow Jones report in the New York Times February 11, 1928. The Taft Telefering Soft Bombs in 1927. J.P. Morgan was first with $502,590,000. National City Company was second with $435,616,000. Coolabe was third with $423,988.00. On July 3, the New York Times noted that Charles A. Peabody had joined the boards of National City Company and Citibank Farmers Trust. On August 4, 1932, the New York Times stated that National City Bank will list its own currency against U.S. bonds carrying the circulatory power under the new Federal Home Loan Bank Act, which empowered National City Bank to issue up to $124 million in currency. The 105 National City Bank had now become a bank of issue, a function formerly reserved to central banks. On June 8, 1933, James H. Perkins, CHM in National City Bank, announced the National City Company would change its name to City Company of New York. On November 21, the National City Bank listed 3-1 affiliates including Citibank Farmers Trust, City Company of New York, City Company of Massachusetts, 44 Wall Street Company and Cuban Sugar Plantations Incorporated. On March 3, the New York Times announced that National City Bank would sell the National Bank of Haiti, a wholly owned subsidiary, on April 29, 1934. The Times also noted that National City Bank had organized United Aircraft February 2, 1934, and that its subsidiary, Citibank Farmers Trust, had celebrated its 112th anniversary on February 28, 1929. On June 27, the City Company of New York was designated German bond scrip agent in the U.S. On May 22, 1933, City Company of NY announced its merger with Brown Brothers, Harriman, with Joseph Ripley as chairman of the board. The company went through several name changes, as Brown Harriman Company, Harriman Ripley, and is now Brown Brothers, Harriman once more. On March 4, 1934, General Billy Mitchell, addressing the Foreign Policy Association, stated that National City Bank and its affiliates control aviation in this country. Alan W. Dulles, introduced as a specialist in international affairs, announced the profits of international munitions makers were unconscionable. On March 2, 1955, a National City Bank announced it would purchase the stock of First National Bank for $165 million, $550 a share. In the 1929 boom, First National sold for $8,600 a share. Some market analysts believed the stock should have brought $750 a share in the 1955 sale, suggesting that the Baker family was no longer able to protect its interests. The resulting Citibank became the largest bank in the U.S., with a controlling interest in the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. National Citibank had been in Hong Kong for 80 years. It has a $90 million Citibank center there. In 1983, 4% of its 106 annual profits came from the Hong Kong operation, which is the center of the world's drug trade. Besides its controlling interest in the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, The Rothschilds had developed important financial interests in other parts of the United States. The House Banking and Currency Committee Reports May, 1976, International Banking, P60, identified the Rothschild Five Arrows Group and its present five branches in M. Rothschild & Sons Limited London, Banque Rothschild, France, Banque Lambert, Belgium, Newport Securities, New York, Pearson, Holdring & Company, Amsterdam. These five were combined in a single bank, Rothschild Intercontinental Bank Limited. The House staff report discloses that Rothschild Intercontinental Bank Limited has three principal American subsidiaries, National City Bank of Cleveland, First City National Bank of Houston, First City Bancorp, and Seattle First National Bank. These Rothschild subsidiaries were ranked in 1983, as follows: First City Bancorp Houston, 23rd in size in U.S., $7 billion assets, National City Corporation of Cleveland, 48th largest in U.S., $6.5 billion assets. National City Corporation of Cleveland has exercised a dominant role in Midwestern industry and politics for many years. First City Bancorp dominates Texas oil and heavy industry as well as Texas politics. In 1900, Cleveland was the home of Marcus Alonzo Hanna, known as Mark, the legendary political boss of the Republican Party. He twice nominated and elected an Ohio congressman, William McKinley, to the presidency of the U.S. He initiated the checkoff system by which banks and corporations were required to make regular political contributions. Hanna founded two companies, M.A. Hanna Company and Hanna Mining Company, which acquired large steel and iron holdings. In 1953, President Eisenhower named George Humphrey Secretary of the Treasury. Humphrey, president of M.A. Hanna Company, was also CHM in National Steel Company, recently acquired by Nippon Kokken, a Japanese concern, director of Sun Life Assurance Company. Rothschild, Industrial Rayon Corporation, the world's largest manufacturer of auto tire cord, L.L. Strauss of Kuhn, Leib Company controlled the firm. Harry Bird Jr. was also a director. Humphrey was also a director of 107. The National City Bank of Cleveland. Other directors of this bank were C.T. Foster, C.H.M. in Standard Oil of Ohio, J.A. Green, C.H.M. in Ohio Telephone Company, L.L. White, C.H.M. in Chicago and Street, Louis Rawai, R.A. Weaver, C.H.M. in Faro Corporation, J.B. Ward, President Adressograph Company, H.B. Klein, President Industrial Rayon Corporation, and William McCarthy, Director Standard Oil of Ohio. National City Bank of Cleveland now has $6.5 billion assets, 8,171 employees, and 17 companies. It recently purchased the $500 million revenues bank, Bemco Hio. In 1978, George Humphrey's son, Gilbert W., was CHM in Hanna Mining Company, Director National City Bank of Cleveland, Sun Life Assurance, National Steel, Massey Ferguson, General Reinsurance, and St. John Del Rey Mining Company, M.A. Hanna Company. The holding company was liquidated in 1965, and its $700 million assets distributed to its stockholders. The National City Bank of Cleveland's influence was not limited to the Hanna and Humphrey families. As the Ohio connection of the House of Rothschild, it guided the careers of two of the nation's best-known families, the Tafts and the Rockefellers. The bank financed the Taft family's activities in politics and business, the Taft Broadcasting Company and other firms. John D. Rockefeller's success began when he obtained the backing of the National City Bank of Cleveland to finance his takeover of his competitors in the oil business. Because J.P. Morgan joined Kuhn, Leib Company Contro led 95% of all railway mileage in the U.S. in the latter half of the 19th century, they offered Rocky Floor special rebates on shipping oil through his holding company, South Improvement Company. This enabled him to undersell and ruin his competitors. One of them was a Mr. Tarbell, whose daughter, Ida Tarbell, later wrote the first exposé of Standard Oil and was termed a muckraker by Theodore Roosevelt, a term which promptly went into the language. The entire Rockefeller empire was financed by the Rothschilds. When Lincoln Steffens became a Wall Street reporter, he interviewed both J.P. Morgan and John D. Rockefeller on several occasions. He soon realized that these gentlemen, powerful though they were mere front men. He noted that no one ever seems to ask the question, who is behind the Morgans and the Rockefellers? No one else ever asked the question, nor did anyone answer it. Stephens knew the money, for their operations was coming from someone else, but never managed to trace it. In February 1930, one of the few articles on the Rothschilds ever to appear in an American magazine appeared in Fortune, which stated, on only one important point did the Rothschilds guess wrong. They never wanted to have anything to do with the U.S. of America. Imagination falters at what the Rothschilds might be today, if they had spent on the infant industries of this country one half the sums they poured into Imperial Austria. The Fortune writer did not know then and probably never knew that the Rothschilds have always controlled the Morgan and Rockefeller operations, as well as the foundations set up by these front men to control the people of the United States. During the past quarter of a century, many writers have published alarming exposés of the Rockefellers and their control of the U.S. through the Council on Foreign Relations. In 1950, the New York Times carried a small notice on an inside page that L.L. Strauss, a partner of Kuhn, Leib Company, had been appointed financial advisor to the Rockefeller brothers. In short, all their investments must be approved by a partner of Kuhn, Leib Company. It has always been thus, beginning with Jacob Schiff. Strauss held the position from 1950 to 1953, when it passed to J. Richardson Dilworth. Dilworth, who married Elizabeth Cushing, was a partner of Kuhn, Leib Company from 1946 to 1958, when he became director of finances for the entire Rockefeller family, presiding over all their accounts on the 56th floor of Rockefeller Center. He held the position until 198-1. He is now chairman of the board of Rockefeller Center, director of International Basic Economy Corporation, Chrysler R. H. Macy, Colonial Williamsburg and Rockefeller University. 108. 109. The National City Bank of Cleveland continues to dominate Midwestern industry and politics. For many years, its primary law firm has been Jones, Day, Revis and Pogue of Cleveland. When the Washington Post announced Dec 19,1983 that this law firm was spending $9 million for office space in Washington to house a staff of 60 lawyers, making this Cleveland law firm one of the most potent lobbying groups in Washington. Hanna Mining Company, despite relatively modest revenues of $333 million, exercises an important role, as shown by its board of directors, including such distinguished names as Herbert Hoover Jr., Under Secretary of State under Eisenhower and Dulles, Stephen D. Bechtel, CHMN of Bechtel Group and Director of J.P. Morgan Company, R.L. Ireland of Brown Brothers, Harriman, George F. Bennett, Treasurer of Harvard University, and Nathan W. Pearson, Financial Manager of the Mellon Family. Despite the Hollywood image of red-faced Texas oil millionaires driving new Cadillacs, the Texan oil industry has, for years, been dominated by the London Rothschilds through the billion-dollar First City National Bank of Houston, and its 57 subsidiary Texas banks. Chairman of First City is James Anderson Elkins Jr., who is a director of Hill Samuel Company of London, one of the 17 merchant banks chartered by the Bank of England. His father was chairman of First City, and founded the Texas law firm of Vinson and Elkins, the primary law firm of First City Bank. This firm dominated national politics through its most well-known partner, John B. Connally, who achieved a reputation as kingmaker in Texas politics. He began as administrative assistant to Congressman Lyndon B. Johnson in 1949, then became attorney for the oil millionaire Sid Richardson, and Perry Bass, 1952-61, Secretary of the Navy 1961, Governor of Texas 1963-69, Secretary of the Treasury 1971-72. He was wounded in the Kennedy assassination in Dallas. He is now trustee of the Andrew Mellon Foundation, serves on the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board, and the Advisory Committee on Reforming the International Monetary System. He advised Nixon on devaluing the dollar and going off the gold standard in 1971. He is now director of Superior Oil and Falconbridge Nickel Mines Limited. James Anderson Elkins is also director of Freeport Minerals, whose directors include some of the leading names in American business. CHMN of Freeport is Benno H. Schmidt, managing director of J.H. Whitney Company Schmidt, who married into the wealthy Fleischman family, New Yorker Magazine, etc., graduated from Harvard Law in 1941, became general counselor of the War Production Board in Washington 1941-42, and headed the Foreign Liquidation Commission 1945-46, which disposed of billions of dollars worth of property. He is also director of CBS and Schlumberger, the huge oil field service firm who began business in 1928, when it was awarded its first contract by the Soviet Union. It is said to have important Anglo-Swiss intelligence connections. Other directors of Freeport Minerals are William McChesney Martin Jr., chairman of the Federal Reserve Board 1951-1970, now director of J.P. Morgan U.S. Steel, Eli Lilly, General Foods, Royal Dutch Shell, IBM, American Express, Riggs National Bank, and Scandinavian Securities, the Wallenberg Firm, Donald S. Perkins, of Morgan Guarantee Trust, Time Magazine, John B. Madden, partner Brown Brothers, Harriman, Godfrey S. Rockefeller, Norborn Berkeley Jr., director Uniroyal, and Anglo Energy Limited. Other directors of First Citibank Corporation include Ann Armstrong, U.S. Ambassador to Britain 1976-77, co-CHMN Reagan Bush Campaign 1980, Director of General Foods, General Motors, Trustee Hoover Institution, Guggenheim Foundation, Atlantic Council, Council on Foreign Relations, Halliburton Company, George R. Brown, Director of Halliburton. He founded the huge contracting firm, Brown & Root, which financed Lyndon B. Johnson's political campaigns, subsequently receiving billion-dollar contracts to construct naval bases and airfields in Vietnam, which are now being used by the Soviet Navy and Air Force. Brown married into the Pratt family, founded Texas Eastern, an oil firm, and is director of it, TWA, and the Brown Foundation. The Brown-Johnson Association began in 1940, when Johnson secured a lucrative contract for Brown and Root. To build a large naval base at Corpus Christi, Texas, it was said then that any course chosen by Johnson would be paved by money from Brown and Root. J. Evetts Haley pointed out that Brown and Root prospered on government contracts after Johnson helped them and rapidly became a worldwide operation. In 1940, the Internal Revenue Service found that large contributions given to Johnson by Brown & Root and its subsidiary, Victoria Gravel Company, as much as $100,000 each, were taken by Brown & Root as tax deductions. Haley states, Brown & Root were in control of Texas politics, that L.B. Johnson was in control of IRS, that records had been burned at IRS to get Brown off the hook in 1954. Johnson and Connolly then picked up a government plant for a small sum, which became a giant wartime contractor, the Sid Richardson Carbon Plant at Odessa, Texas, in which Mrs. Lyndon B. Johnson had a 1/4 interest. In 1955, Johnson suffered a major heart attack on his way to George Brown's palatial Middleburg, Virginia estate. As mentioned, Brown is a director of Halliburton, whose primary law firm is also Vinson and Elkins. In 1981, Halliburton had $8.03 billion revenues, 110,398 employees, and daily monitors most U.S. oil wells. In addition to George Brown and Ann Armstrong, directors of Halliburton include Lord Polwarth of Scotland, who is governor of the Bank of Scotland, director of Canadian Pacific, Sun Life Assurance Limited, and Brown and Root UK, which interlocks with George Wimpey Limited, the largest construction firm in England, through Brown and Root Wimpey Highland Fabricators. Lord Polwarth, Henry Hepburn Scott, is a descendant of James Hepburn, Earl of Bothwell, who was married to Mary, Queen of Scots. The first Baron Polwarth, 1641-1724, was Sir Patrick Hume, 1st Earl of Marchmont, and William of Orange's closest advisor. He accompanied William in 1688 on his voyage to take possession of the throne of England, and became his privy councillor, in which office he advised William to grant the charter of the Bank of England. He became a peer of Scotland 1689, Lord Chancellor of Scotland 1696-1702, and Earl of Marchmont 1697. He passed the Act of Succession on to the House of Hanover, and was reappointed by King George I. John Pickens Harbin, President of Halliburton, is a director of Citicorp. Another director of Halliburton is William E. Simon, Secretary of the Treasury 1973-77. He is a director of Citicorp, Citibank, and United Technologies. As director of Citibank, he interlocks with Lord Aldington of London, Toby Lowe, who is also director of Citibank and chairman of Sun Life Assurance, the keystone of the Rothschild fortune. Lord Aldington is chairman of Grindlays Bank, London, director of General Electric Limited, Lloyds Bank, United Power Limited, and National Discounts Corporation. During a national oil crisis, government officials complained they could not obtain any records from oil companies on production and reserves, yet Halliburton received this information on a daily basis. As director of United Technologies, William Simon again interlocks with Citibank, the only corporation which has four officers on the board of directors of Citibank: Harry Gray, CHMN of United Technologies, Simon, William Spencer, who is president of Citibank, and Darwin Eaton Smith, CHMN of Kimberly-Clark. Other directors of United Technologies are Robert F. D., CHMN and CEO of the Smith-Kline drug firm, T. Mitchell Ford, General Counsel CIA 1952-55, now CHMN F. The $1.8 billion Amherst Corporation, and Director of Travelers Insurance, Richard S. Smith, Executive, Vice Pres. National Steel, was with First National Bank New York 1952-62, and Treasurer of M.A. Hanna Company 1962-63, and Director of Hartford Fire Insurance, and Hartford Accident and Indemnity, Charles W. Duncan, Jr., Departure Secretary Defense, 197779, Secretary Department of Energy 197981, CHMN Coca-Cola International, CHMN Coca-Cola Europe, Director Humble Oil Company, Melvin C. Hum, Prees and CEO Carrier Corporation, Director New York Telephone, Mutual of New York S.K.F. Industries, Antonia Chandler Hayes, wife of Abram Hayes, who was law clerk to Felix Frankfurter, later joined Covington and Burling, Washington 195255, wrote the Democratic National Platform 1960, Legal Advisor Secretary of State 1961-64, Director of Foreign Policy Democratic National Committee 1972, Jacqueline Wexler, President Webster College 1965-69. President Hunter, 112, 113, College, since 1969, leader of the feminist movement, and Robert L. Sproul, with the Department Defense 1963-65, President University of Rochester, since 1970, lecturer at NATO, director of Xerox, General Motors, President Telluride Association. Other directors of First Citibank Corporation are John Diesel, president of Tenneco, which interlocks with the George Bush oil firm, Zapata Oil Corporation, whose CHMN John Bakken is a director of Tenneco, Randall Meyer, President Exxon, M.A. Wright, former CHMN Exxon 1966-76, now CHMN Cameron Iron Works. Other directors of Halliburton Corporation include James W. Glanville, former PTNR. Lehman Brothers, and Lazard Freers, was with Humble Oil 1945-59, Lehman Brothers 1959-78, had been with Lazard Freers, since 1978, and is director of International Mining and Chemical Company. Other directors of Lazard Freers include its senior partner, Michelle David Weil, head of the Paris House of Lazard Freers, Donald C. Cook, Sex Financial Examiner 1935-45, Director Office of Alien Property Custodian for Department of Justice, 1946-47, Commissioner Sec 1949-53, and is now Director of ABC, Amerida Hess, CHMN of the Board American Electric Power and Director of General Dynamics, the defense-oriented firm, Felix Rohatyn, born in Austria, came to U.S. 1942, married Jeanette Street, daughter of Clarence Street, head of union. Now with England, Rohatyn joined Lazard Freers in 1948, is director of Schlumberger, McCass, American Motors, Owens, Illinois, Engelhardt Mining and Chemical, Pfizer, IT, and Rockefeller Brothers. Fund, he is CHMN Municipal Assistance Corporation, which bailed New York City out of its approaching bankruptcy. Frank C. Zarb, assistant to President of the U.S. 1974-77, Administrator, Federal Energy Administration, 1974-77, now Director of Philbro Corporation, Englehorn Mining and Chemical, and the Energy Fund. The Houston-Cleveland Axis interlocks with many political figures, including W. Michael Blumenthal, Secretary of the Treasury 1977-79, who interlocks with the Axis through Chemical Bank, Equitable Life and the Rockefeller Foundation, Robert B. Anderson, Secretary of Treasury 1957-61, partner of the law firm of Strzok, Strzok and Lavin, which administers the Warburg family finances, and interlocks with this group through Equitable Life, IN and Pan Am, G. William Miller, CHMN, Federal Reserve Board of Governors 1978-79, Secretary of the Treasury 1979-81, interlocks with this group through Textron and First City Bank Corporation, was CHMN of U.S.-U.S.-S.R. Trade and Economic Council, now Director of Federated Department Stores, whose directors include three directors of Chase Manhattan Bank, and interlocks with Citibank and Kuhn, Leib Company. The political power of this Rothschild-controlled axis was demonstrated by the ease with which they financed the campaigns of two governors of supposedly conservative southern states, John D. Rockefeller IV, in West Virginia, and Charles Robb, son-in-law of Lyndon B. Johnson, in Virginia, heir to the Connolly Brown and Root First City Bancorp political clout. The May 1976 staff report of the House Banking and Currency Committee noted another Rothschild affiliate, P.60, the Rothschild banks are affiliated with Manufacturers Hanover of London, in which IA hold 20% interest, a merchant bank, and Manufacturers Hanover Trust of NY. Manufacturers Hanover recently bought the giant Citi Financial Corporation for $1.6 billion in October 1983,